وقل رب زدني علما.
فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. This is the class from the book بلوغ المرام للحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني رحمه الله. We are still in the كتاب الصيام, the book of fasting. Hadith 557. عن أبي هريرة المالك رحمه الله وعن أبي هريرة أي مروي عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يحل للمرأة أن تصوم وزوجها شاهد إلا بإذنه. متفق عليه، واللفظ للبخاري. زاد أبو داود غير رمضان. حديث 557 ناريل لأبو هريرة، may Allah be pleased with him, that Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's not lawful for a woman to fast, means optional fasting, when her husband is present, except with his permission. It is not lawful for a woman to fast, means the optional fasting, when her husband is present, except with his permission, agree upon. The warning is that of Al-Bukhari. Abu Dawood added, other than Ramadan. Abu Dawood added, other than Ramadan. In this hadith, the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taught the Muslims this rule from the rule of Al-Islam, that a woman is not allowed to fast, optional fasting, when her husband is present. He is not absent. He is present except with his permission. Except with his permission. This hadith, it's called light by Bukhari and Muslim. This is the rule. A Muslim woman doesn't fast, optional fasting, unless she asks permission, her husband, if he is present. He's not a traveler. What is the wisdom behind that? Why a woman is not allowed to fast without the permission of her husband, if he is present? What's the wisdom? If you come to know the wisdom behind that, alhamdulillah, we increase knowledge and certainty. But if we do not know the wisdom behind, we generally know that whatever Allah legislate must be upon what? Upon wisdom. Whatever Allah legislate, either by the Quran or by the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it must be upon wisdom. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. All His commands, actions, rules, compensations, everything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jalla is based on wisdom, hikmah. So if we come to know why it's not allowed for the woman to fast without the permission of her husband when he's present, that's extra knowledge, alhamdulillah. But if we do not know the wisdom, then we still know there must be hikmah in that. This is the aqidah of the believer. The people of knowledge said that the wisdom is that her husband has right. And some of his rights he cannot fulfill if she is fasting. Some of his rights you cannot fulfill if his wife is fasting. So in order to facilitate his right, she is not allowed to fast with his presence except without his permission. Some of the people, especially this, some of the sisters, women, especially those who live in the disbeliever environment, where they try every step the man take, the woman must take. If she doesn't take the steps before him, they may think the like of this oppressing the woman, making her under the command of somebody. If the one who says this is a disbeliever, it's understandable, because the disbeliever is led by Shaitan. But a believer to feel that way after come to know the narration, the hadith, it is the issue. Any rule comes to the Quran and Sunnah, after it become clear, a believer must adhere to it. That's what it means, Muslim, surrender, submission. That's what Islam is. الإسلام الاستسلام لله تعالى بالتوحيد والانقياد له بالطاعة والبراءة من الشرك وأهله. That's what Islam is. When you say I'm a Muslim, means I surrender, I submit myself to Allah. So if Allah gives command and the Muslim rejects, now where is the submission? Where is the Islam? So either there is no Islam there, or there is deficiency, a weakness, and person needs to cure himself. Just one example. Some Muslims have questions. Why a Muslim man marry more than one wife? Why a woman should stay her house? The origin is to stay her house. Why she doesn't work like the man? Why she doesn't dress like the man? Why she... whatever she does of responsibility, of taking care of the kids in the home, why not he doesn't? And the like. And many other issues. They have questions on that. In reality, this reminds us the great hikmah and ilm and knowledge of Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, أول ما نزل من القرآن سورة من المفصل فيها ذكر الجنة والنار ولو كان أول ما نزل فيها ذكر الجنة والنار ثم نزل الحلال والحرام ولو كان أول ما نزل لا تشرب الخمر لقالوا لا نترك الخمر لا ندع الخمر أبدا لا تزنوا لقالوا لا ندع الزنا أبدا إلى آخر الأثر. أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله عنها mentioned that the first chapters of the Quran which Allah revealed was chapters of Mufassal, which there is mentioning paradise and mention hellfire in those chapters. Then after that, what Allah revealed is the chapters, there is lawful things and unlawful things, prohibitions and commands. And if the first, what Allah revealed would have been the rules, the laws, don't drink alcohol, they would have said, we will drink alcohol all the time, will not stop it. They would have been said, Don't commit zina. They will have said they will continue make. They will commit zina. They will not leave it. They will ever leave it. They will never leave it. That's what they would have said. So the mean it means Allahul Karim Subhanah min hikmatihi, from his wisdom, the first Quran there was mentioning Jannah for those who obey Allah, paradise. There is mention in hellfire for those who disobey Allah. If you obey Allah, you are entering paradise, that home of peace and joy and success. And if you disobey Allah, you enter in hellfire, a place of torture and suffering and all kinds of pain. When the Sahaba have this ilm, and they have certainty in that obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is means to paradise. Disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads to hellfire. When they have this aqidah, belief, and certainty, then Allah revealed the rules. Don't drink alcohol, don't commit zina, don't steal, don't do this. Then, when those rules was descended, it was easy for those hearts who have the iman, fear of Allah, hope in Allah, to easily apply it, to act according to it, because of the fear in the heart, because of the hope in the heart. So they easily obey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That's after they come to know who Allah is, what's the right of Allah, why they were created, what's the consequence of their actions. They have this aqidah. They understood it well. They believe it. They had certainty in it. Then the rules come. Don't drink alcohol. Some of them, they were drinking alcohol when they heard someone reciting, mentioning that Prophet ﷺ forbade. Allah revealed in the Quran that drinking alcohol was forbade. They were drinking. Anas, he was distributing to them, those Sahaba, giving this one, this one, this one, just like you do that to the tea or water. When this person who come to them tell them, they throw away everything they have. What they have in their mouth, spit out. What they had on their vessel, get rid of it. That was the last time they go back to it. Why today some Muslims, they smoking, drinking alcohol, doing other crimes, and they know Allah forbade it, but they're still doing it. Every Friday hearing it, they're still doing it. Why? Those people, what's the difference? This is what Aisha radiallahu anha said. There was iman, there was faith. There was love in Allah. There was fear of hellfire. There was hope, love of Jannah, paradise. They had certainty. They knew who Allah is, subhanahu, who the messenger is, what the religion is. When they have this, it was easy to apply the deen. So this is from this. So if Prophet ﷺ said, a woman, she is not allowed to fast without the permission of her husband at his presence, she must say, سَمِعْتُ وَأَطَعْتُ, I hear it and I obey it. No rejection, no arrogance, no objection, no stubbornness, nothing, no whispering. Allah said, Messenger said, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, we hear it, we obey it. What can help? Build your faith, your iman in Allah first. Your iman in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your iman in your religion. Your faith in Jannah, in paradise. Knowing why you have been created. When that settled in the heart, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, a person will obey Allah in a very easy way. Very convenient. Rather, he will reach in a state he loves to obey Allah. He has joy in obeying Allah, and he dislike and hate the sin, major and minor. He hate the sin, major and minor. ولكن الله حبب إليكم الإيمان وزينه في قلوبكم وكره إليكم الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. Because of the faith in the heart, because of the belief. So it is very important to focus on the aqidah. You know here the importance of belief, the creed, knowing who Allah is, subhanah, the rights of Allah, the names of Allah, the descriptions of Allah, knowing the religion, the basics, knowing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, what's your position when you hear him, who is he? To know that, then will be easy when you get a call from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some sisters today, they have an issue when they hear the hadith. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't see min naqisati aqlin wa deen min ida kunna, someone who has more deficiency in wiseness and intellect and in religion than you, O woman. So they say, how? It's not fair. It's not this. How you say this is not fair? Do you know who said this? He's a messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-sadiq al-masduq. If you understand the wisdom, alhamdulillah, you increase knowledge, guidance. But if you don't understand the wisdom and how, why there is a deficiency, then al-inqiyad, submission, with belief, there must be, this must be the truth. This must be the truth. So these are very important things. Knowing about the basics of the deen, about Allah first, about the messenger, about the deen. And these are the three things every one of us will be asked in the grave. مَنْ رَبُّكْ وَمَا دِينُكْ وَمَنْ نَبِيُّكْ. Who is your Lord? The one you did believe before death comes to you, that he created you, he controls all your affairs, you belong to him, the one who has right to worship him alone, no one else, the one you must worship him and single out him in worship. Who was he? This question is coming there. That has to be known ahead of time. If you say Allah, that means you fulfill these rights. The next question, وَمَا دِينُكْ, what's your religion? What do you use to adhere to it? Take your way of life, take your rules and way of life from it. It must be Islam. وَمَنْ نَبِيُّكُ, who is your prophet? He must be Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the prophet, he's the messenger. Yes, believing in him. His command sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be fulfilled, must be believed. تَصْدِقُوا فِي مَا أَخْبَرْ. Whatever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said must be trusted. Must be truth. No question on it. Subhanallah, sometimes you find even people who are considered people of knowledge, but Ahlul Bid'ah, who deny very obvious texts in Quran and Sunnah. They say Dajjal doesn't exist. Ya'juj wa Ma'juj don't exist. So and so don't exist. How do you say don't exist? And Allah mentioned, the Messenger Sallam mentioned, so many texts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above his throne. Rahman al-Arsh istawa. Allah has two hands. Allah has face. Allah has descriptions. They say, no, 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 no. Allah mentioned that. Prophet ﷺ mentioned that. Because there is no these basics. Believing the Messenger ﷺ, tasdiqu fima akhbar, to trust and believe and affirm, confess whatever he mentioned. Prophet ﷺ mentioned, it is the truth. وَطَاعَتُهُ فِي مَا أَمَرَ, not just in the heart, but also to obey him, to submit, to surrender what he commanded. وَالِجْتِنَابُ عَمَّا نَهَى وَزَجَرَ, to avoid what he forbade. It's not an optional. Prophet forbade this. Take it serious and leave it. It's not playing game. It's not a joke. وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ, it's not a joke. Allah forbade it. Prophet forbade it. Leave it for Allah. Out of fear and out of hope and love, leave it. It's not you here, you do what you want. Subhanallah. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيارة من أمره. It's not suitable for a believing man and woman when Allah's messenger give command, they follow their way. This is not the characteristic of the true, strong believer. So this hadith remind us, this is the hadith of Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She is not a woman, is not allowed to fast with the presence of her husband without his permission. Likewise, she is not allowed to leave house without his permission. Don't say that the husband, he himself has this problem, he is not treating the wife well. As long as he's husband, this is his right. After that, as long as he is zawj, he has this right to fulfill. There is a problem, there is a way to solve it. Not husband and wife are being married and they're acting like they are not married. They're acting like they are not married. Everyone is neglecting the right of the other one. No. عاشرهن بالمعروف فأمسكوهن بمعروف أو سرحوهن بمعروف. Yes. There are rights. Fulfill these rights with good. Or leave one another with good. Why? Because Allah commanded it. It's not after knowing Allah commanded you go on your way. This is the way I grow up. This is my culture. This is how I feel it. Where is the belief? Where is the truthful of your iman, submission to the deen, to the command of Allah? So a believer should know whenever we hear and we come, it is the truth. Allah said, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the requirement of the faith is to obey. To believe first is the truth. It is the truth, whether you understand the wisdom or you don't. And then to submit to it while you are happy with it. Acceptance, al-qabool, al-mahabba, love. Not because you are enforced. Like a human command you, give you a command. You don't believe it is truth. But you still have to obey by force. No. You shouldn't feel that way when the command is from Allah, from the message. You have to love that command. You have to submit. You have to know it is the truth. You have to know it is your own benefit. If you obey Allah, you are not doing favor for anybody. Not for a husband or a wife or a parent or anybody else. You're doing favor for your own self. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever does good, he does for his own self. We need Allah. Allah is sufficient. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. When Allah commands us, it's for our own interest. Don't drink alcohol. Don't steal. Don't oppress. Don't lie. Don't do. It is your own interest. We should take that way as a believers. We shouldn't feel even burdening. Somebody give you money. He give you $100. Again, he give you another $1,000. Then he give you $200,000. The more he give you more, the more you feel burdening. He's really oppressing you. Do we think that way when it comes to the money? No. No, the more he gives you, the more you're happy with him. The more you love him, the more you thank him, the more you say good about him, the more you want more. But when command comes from Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, to feel heaviness, it's too much. There must be deficiency in the faith, no question. No deficiency, either caused by ignorance or caused by desire. نسأل الله السلامة والعافية. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن صيام يومين، يوم الفطر ويوم النحر، متفق عليه. Narrated Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade fasting on 2 days. The day of Al-Fitr, meaning breaking the fast of Ramadan, and the day of Al-Adha, offering sacrifice, agreed upon. In this hadith, 2 days in the year is not allowed to fast. The 2 days of Eid, the day of Eid al-Fitr, the day after Ramadan ends, and Eid al-Adha, the day after the day of Arafah. Those 2 days, 2 holidays, it's haram, it's not allowed to fast for any Muslim under any condition, wherever he may be, in Hajj, in outside, man, female, is not allowed. Don't say, I like to fast, and I will fast. If you have that feeling, after you come to know to the rule, there is deficiency on your iman. You don't know yet who the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. You do not yet what's his right. Because his right is to obey. He forbade, don't fast the day of Eid, whether it's Eid al-Fitr or Eid al-Adha. Hadith 559 wa an Nubaysha al-Hudali radiallahu ta'ala anhu قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أيام التشريق أيام أكل وشرب وذكر الله عز وجل رواه مسلم. أيام التشريق أيام أكل وشرب وذكر الله عز وجل رواه مسلم. 559 narrated نبيشة الهذلي رضي الله عنه الله's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said the days of tashriq are days of eating, drinking, and the remembrance of Allah, the great and glorious days of Tashriq. Why is called Tashriq? Ayyam al-Tashriq is a term used for the 11th, 12th, and 13th of the month of Dhul Hijjah. It's forbidden to fast during these days. Someone who is performing Hajj may observe fasting on the said days if he fails to get an animal for sacrifice. The others are not allowed. In addition to it, it's also forbidden to fast on the days of two Eid. So how many days now is not allowed to fast so far? 5. 2 Eid days. And Ayyamu Tashriq. Ayyamu Tashriq is the 13th. Naam, 11th and 12th and 13th. 11th of the Hajjah. So the Eid day, the big Eid day, next day is 11th. 12th, 13th. Those 3 days is not allowed to fast except one group of people are those who are performing Hajj and they don't have the Hadi. They fast those 3 days in the Hajj. And then وَتِلْكَ وَصَبْعَةٍ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ and 7 when they go back. Other than that, those who are not performing Hajj or the rest of the people who are also performing Hajj, they are not allowed to fast the ayam al-tashriq because it's ayam al-aklin wa-shurbin wa-dhikri Allah Azza wa Jalla, days of eating and drinking and remembering Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. وعن عائشة وابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال لم يرخص في أيام التشريق أن يصمنا إلا لمن لم يجد الهدي رواه البخاري. نارل عائشة عن ابن عمر may Allah be pleased with them. Nobody was allowed to fast on the days of Tashriq except those who couldn't afford the Al-Hadi sacrifice. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تخصوا ليلة الجمعة بقيام من بين الليالي ولا تخصوا يوم الجمعة بصيام من بين الأيام إلا أن يكون في صوم يصومه أحدكم رواه مسلم. نارل أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said do not single out the night, means preceding Friday, from among the nights for prayer. And do not single out Friday from among the days for fasting, unless it occurs during a day of fasting, which one of you normally observes, reported by Muslim. In this hadith, that no one should make special specific qiyam, night prayer only for Friday because it is Friday. Nor fasting the day of Friday because it is Friday. It's not allowed. But as for the one who pray night prayer the night of Friday, not because it's Friday, but because he pray, it's night time. It's legislated. He fast Friday, not because it's Friday, but because it's legislated to fast. Then in this case, as the Prophet ﷺ said here, إِلَّا أَن يَكُونَ فِي صَوْمٍ يَصُومُهُ أَحَدُكُمْ, except when it is for unless it occurs during a day of fasting which one of you normally observes. So the day and the night of Friday is another Eid. So now we have six Eid days. Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, the 3 days of Ayyam al-Tashriq, and Friday is Eid. But a small Eid. Therefore, not eat from everything. Eat for certain things. Not to fast the Friday because it's Friday. Don't do that. Not to pray the night prayer on Friday night because it's Friday night. No. This is so you don't bring innovations. You don't say this is Friday, it's Eid. Okay, if it's Eid, holiday, great night, great day, let us do something special. If you do that, you innovate it. Leave it the way it is. Next hadith. وعنه أيضا قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يصومن أحدكم يوم الجمعة إلا أن يصوم يوما قبله أو يوما بعده متفق عليه. Narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you should fast on Friday unless he fasts, means it together with a day before it or a day after it, agree upon. This hadith shows it's not allowed to fast Friday, means optional fasting. Means optional fasting. Unless you either fast the day before that, which is Thursday, or you're planning to fast the day after that, which is Saturday. So now we have two rules. Don't fast the day Friday because it's Friday. The first hadith shows so. You are fasting not because it's Friday, it's because of other reasons. You want to fast to get reward from Allah for fasting. So it happened to be Friday. You are allowed, but make sure that you fasted Thursday, the day before that, or you are planning to fast the day after that, which is Saturday. If not, don't single out in fasting Friday. Unless it is a mandatory fasting, a vow, making of Ramadan, a day of Ramadan, and the like. Or expiations, kafarat. This hadith is about the optional fasting. وعنه أيضا أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا انتصف شعبان فلا تصوم رواه الخمسة واستنكره أحمد. ناري أبو هريرة الله's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said when the month of شعبان is half through do not fast, reported by الخمسة. أحمد considered it منكر, rejected. So Imam Ahmad rejected this hadith, which shows not to fast after the half of month of Sha'ban. Yes, so it is weak. You are allowed to fast after the month, after the half of Sha'ban, as you are allowed to fast before that. وعن السماء بنت بسر رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تصوموا يوم السبت إلا فيما افترض عليكم فإن لم يجد أحدكم إلا لحاء عنب أو عود شجرة فليمضغها رواه الخمسة ورجاله ثقات إلا أنه مضطرب وقد أنكره مالك وقال أبو داود هذا منسوخ. حديث 564 نارير أسماء بنت بصر رضي الله عنها الله's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said do not fast on Saturday except what has been made obligatory on you. Do not fast on a Saturday except what has been made obligatory on you. And if one of you can get nothing but a grape skin or twig from a tree, he should chew it. Reported by Al-Khamsa, and it is narrators are reliable, but it is Muttarib, narrated with inconcilable contradictions in the chain. Malik, Imam Malik rejected it, and Abu Dawud said it is mansukh, abrogated. In this hadith, it shows that the Prophet ﷺ forbade to fast the day of Saturday, except what's mandatory on the person. Such a way, if the person doesn't get anything to eat, to break the fasting of Saturday, except to eat the grape skin or towing from a tree, he should do that. This hadith shows. So in the hadith, that you are not allowed to fast Saturday except if it is a mandatory. The people of knowledge, they differ the rule of this hadith. Some of them, they take the apparent meaning of this hadith, and it is Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah. He said this hadith is a clear, crystal clear, very clear, not to allow to fast Saturday except a mandatory fasting. He said this is general, it is not allowed. Even if it happened is a day of Arafah, day of Ashura, Ayam al-Bid, Ayam al-Tashriq, Ayam al-Sitta min Shawal, it's not allowed. Why? Because the hadith is general, it's not allowed to fast the day or the Saturday. Person must break fasting, even if he has nothing to eat. He must find something to eat, even if it's the grape skin. Tayyib. That's one opinion. And the Shaykh strongly defended that. Some of the people of knowledge said, as Hafiz mentioned here, they say, no, this hadith is weak. It's Muttarib. There is contradiction in it. And Muttarib is weak. Therefore, it's like it doesn't exist. So Saturday, it's like Tuesday, it's like Wednesday. No difference, based on those scholars. Some of them say, no, the hadith is not weak. But it is mansukh. Mansukh means, yes, it is authentic. And it's not contradicting. But what it is, it's abrogated. There is, it was the beginning. But after time, Prophet ﷺ changed that rule and allowed to fast Saturday, even if it is optional, fasting. Some scholars, they said, the hadith is not mutarib. It's not mutarib. So it's not weak. It's reliable. And also, it's not abrogated. Because they say we don't know the history. The hadith, other hadith showing other meaning, we don't know is it before or those are before. And if the tariq is not known, we cannot say it's abrogated. Therefore, the hadith is authentic. But since there are many other hadiths showing otherwise, showing the permissibility of fasting Saturday, an optional fasting, we have to collectively understand the hadith and act according to all of it. Not to dismiss one hadith, rather to act according to all of it. How we do? If there is a reason to fast Saturday, like day of Arafah, Ayam al-Tashriq, Siyam al-Dawood, Ayam al-Bid, there is a reason, it's allowed to fast. غَيْرُ مَكْرُوهُ. It's not haram, it's not even disliked. It's like any other day. Rather, it's recommended if it's a great day, like the day of Arafah, the day. But if the hadith, the fasting is not recommended to act according to this hadith and not to fast Saturday. So when there is a reason, the day is a special day, day of Arafah, fast. When it's not that, it's not that like that, then don't fast. Some scholars, they say that. These are the opinion of the people of knowledge. How many opinion of the people of knowledge we mention relate to this hadith, fasting Saturday without a mandatory fasting? Who remember one opinion? Four opinion. One of the, it says, not allowed to fast any optional fasting, even if it's a day of Arafah. Second opinion, yes, the hadith is weak. So it's like it doesn't exist. Third opinion, the hadith is authentic, but it is abrogated. It's abrogated. The rule has been lifted up. The fourth opinion, what's the fourth one? The hadith is authentic and it's not abrogated. And it is still allowed to fast when there is a reason. When there is a reason. Wallahu alam, this opinion of when there is a reason or it's abrogated is the closest to opinion. It's either abrogated or when there is a reason, it's allowed. Because of many things. Number one, there are more, a lot of hadith, more stronger than this one, showing the permissibility of fasting Saturday. Many hadith. From that hadith, afdalu siyam, siyamu Dawood. Prophet ﷺ said, the best of fasting is the fasting of Dawood. The first Dawood, what was it? Fast one day and break the next one, next day. Is it possible that someone who fasting, Siyam Dawood, not to fast Saturday? Yes? Can someone fast one day and break one fast and do the Siyam Dawood, the best of fasting, at the same time not fast Saturday? Is it possible? Impossible. If is fasting, Siyam Dawood, mandatory or optional? Optional. So that hadith is very text. It's allowed to fast Saturday. That's the origin. And many other hadith. Hadith, Prophet ﷺ said, don't fast Friday except one day before it and one day or after it. The hadith talking about the virtue of fasting day of Arafah, encouraging it. Day of Ashura, the three, the Ayamul Bid, the 13th, the 14th, the 15th, 6 days of Shawwal. And hadith showing Prophet ﷺ, he himself used to fast the most, as coming in this hadith, Saturdays and Sundays. Also hadith showing Prophet ﷺ, he fasted 9 days of Dhul Hijjah. And Sheikh Al-Bani authenticated it. And these hadith, some of it are fi Sahihain, some of it are in Sahih Muslim. There's no question on their authenticity. How is it then to ignore all these hadith and many other, and to take one hadith which the people of Nile, they differ, it is unto things. Some of them they say it's weak. Some of them they say it's abrogated. Some of them they say, let us combine. Al-jam'u bayn al-hadith. Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, he has the opinion, it's not allowed, and he defends his opinion strongly. But in reality, when you look all those other hadiths, and what the people of knowledge said, and what the Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah answers, in reality you find some of it's not strong. The strongest, one of the strongest ones, the Shaykh says, he takes parable between fasting Saturday and the day of Eid. He said the day of Eid, It's forbade to fast. And you are saying that. Even, yes, the day of Eid, you say it's not allowed. Why? Why you don't fast the day of Eid? Because the hadith forbade it. He said also this hadith, he forbade it. Don't fast Saturday. So the difference is, first of all, this hadith not fasting the day of Eid is ijma', it's consensus. And this hadith is different. Is the authenticity. Also, this hadith, the day of Eid is 2 days in the year. And Saturday is every day in a week. One is a week. How many days in a year? 50 days and more. How those are being taken as example? The day of Eid and many others. So the opinion Sheikh Ibn Hajar rahimahullah in his fatah, he see the strongest opinion is that the hadith is mansukh, what Imam Abu Dawood mentioned. It's the hadith is the beginning of Islam. Why? It's known generally, Prophet at the beginning of Islam, he used to agree with the Jewish to welcome them. Muslims were facing the Qibla, Baytul Maqdis, at the beginning of Islam. The Jewish were facing that. After time, Allah changed. This is one of the hikmah. Welcome those people. And the like. When the Jewish insisted on following their path, misguided path, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed some of the rules, including fasting the day of Eid, whoever wants to fast. So at the beginning was not allowed. Why? Because is that the Saturday is a day of Eid for Jewish, to agree with them. Don't fast Saturday. And see how the Prophet emphasized in the hadith. Even if you have nothing to eat but a grape of his skin, eat it. No other hadith was said about that. Why so emphasized on Saturday? Not any other day. What's special with Saturday? Is because it's the day of the Jewish. They eat. They don't fast to agree with them. Don't fast too. They face in that Qibla, face that Qibla. And the like. When the Jewish, that didn't help them to believe in Allah, the rule has been changed. So that's what the meaning Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala he mentioned in his fatah. Al-Muhim Jumhur Ahl al-Ilm. They see to fast Saturday when there is a reason, like those days, day of Eid, without any haraj. وقولهم والله أعلم أقوى والله أعلم صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد